Sports Podcast. I said, welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast with Andy Ruther and Joe Prano. Welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast.
Welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast. I am your host, Andy Ruther, coming to you live from Cincinnati, Ohio, with my co-host from Los Angeles, California, Joey No Chill Prano.
Hello, Andy.
Morning. We made it to December.
It's afternoon there.
Yeah. We made it. December 2021.
Yep. Where are we going for that?
Where are we headed? I'm so lost on time. Last night I said, oh yeah, you know, we'll do that in 2022. And I'm like, all right, I said 2021. It's like, well, it is 2021.
Yeah.
Time is just, I've never seen time more like being more lost in time than I have the last like few years.
Yeah. When they're like, you know, like 2-3 years ago, I'm like, you mean 2011? No, I mean like 2019. We're not even there yet. You need to sit down. What year is it?
I was going through my
phone. Where am I? Who's the president?
I was going through my phone last night. I found some videos of you and I in Austin, 2014. It seemed like it was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Like me and you at a bar in 2014.
Love it.
I was like, what is this? Did this happen?
Look at all these people out drinking.
Am I in the Matrix? Well, you know, things aren't missing a beat in the sports world. That's the good news. We have a lot to cover today, as always, but I feel this is a nice one. We're an anti-college football podcast, but we're going to have to talk a little college football just so I can bitch more, if that's acceptable.
I would say I'm an anti-college everything podcast at this point. Like, I don't care for, yeah, right? You love your Xavier basketball, so you're like, oh, I don't hate basketball yet. You should, though. Same issues.
Big news for me. I'm going to the Xavier Cincinnati game next week.
Wow.
I've never gone to it. My brother's.
How's that possible?
Well.
You went as a kid?
No. My dad would never pay for that. Tickets aren't cheap. Like, they're real expensive. It's like $120 standing room only just for that.
Wow.
But like, yeah, it's a big game. You know, it's college. There's only Xavier's Arena is a shade above 10,000. It's a big game. My brother's got me tickets for my birthday. But even that, like, I'm not trying to knock their tickets, but even like corner end zone, they're like $200. Hey, it's a big deal. It's a big deal in Cincinnati.
So this is basketball, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Xavier doesn't have a football team.
Right. That's what I thought. You said corner end zone. Corner baseline.
What do you call it in back of the hoop?
Yeah. Baseline.
You just call it the baseline. You don't call it end zone?
Yeah. No. Now they play for some sort of golden chili cup, right?
It is sponsored by Skyline. It's a Skyline Crosstown Shootout. No lie.
Nice.
It always has been. Skyline has owned that sponsorship for years.
Losers can't put cheese on their conies until next season.
I mean, there's been some historic games. Obviously, Bob Huggins was the coach of Cincinnati for a long time, and there were some historic battles. And
I need to see video of Bob Huggins, the beginning of the Skyline Chili Shootout, just having chili dumped on him post game. You know, a lot of people credit the Giants and the Gatorade with the Gatorade dump on Parcells. A lot of people don't know that Cincinnati started the chili dump.
Oh, that'd be so gross. I couldn't think of something worse to be dumped on.
I'm going to Skyline.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. But big news for the Cincinnati football team. It looks like, as of now, knock on wood, everyone's going to hate me from Cincinnati. They're going to keep their coach for a minute.
Okay.
Looks like he's not going to go to Notre Dame because
Notre Dame hired their defensive coordinator.
They're going to hire their defensive coordinator, Marcus Freeman. Which I do want to say some things about Brian Kelly and LSU, and obviously Lincoln Riley left. We talked about last episode. I mean, Prano, I'm saying this in all sincerity. This isn't me trying to do it for dramatic effect for the podcast. Is there a worse run sport, professional, amateur, any level, high school, collegiate, than specifically college football?
No.
And that's what I think.
From the number of players that involves, number of schools, like the playoff system,
the coaching carousels.
Yeah. No, I don't think there is.
I mean, look, college basketball, at least we have March Madness, right? It's a clean system. It's worked. The fact that a coach can leave mid-season, let alone his team might be in the playoffs, is one of the stupidest rules or lack of rule of any sport.
Yeah, I don't even understand. So he's already gone.
Joe, he's already at LSU.
It's crazy. I saw a great tweet that said, Brian Kelly looks like the kind of guy who thinks Sprite is too spicy. I don't know. I don't know how he's going to deal with LSU.
That's good. Well, this isn't the first time he did this. So he did the same thing when he coached University of Cincinnati. As in, he left. It was a bad exit. Went to Notre Dame. Obviously, that's an upgrade job. For the record, before I even jump into this, I don't care if anybody wants to leave and take more money. I'll never be the guy who's like, fuck that guy. If you want to leave and take more money, but you don't leave, I just don't get it.
Was there like an offer? Were they like, no, we're not going to pay you that? Because I've seen a lot of questions. I think, is LSU a better job than Notre Dame money? Like, if money's not a factor, I mean, it's certainly going to be a lot harder.
That's what I say.
It seems like he had the being an independent, getting into the playoff pretty dialed. Obviously, you know, maybe, and respect to him if he believes this, but maybe he thinks he's a good enough coach where if he actually has access to the best talent in the country with no sort of academic constrictions and no, you know, playing in South Bend, Indiana constrictions, Catholic constrictions, whatever, that he can make a dominant program. But otherwise, it seems like he had job security there. And now you go to LSU and the SEC, you better win pretty quickly.
I think all those reasons that you just named is why he left. But I agree. No, like they had it down at Notre Dame. I wouldn't say their schedule's a cakewalk. Everybody shits on their schedule. They have a lot of good non-conference, or they're not even in a conference, but I'm saying they have teams that have been down. That doesn't help. You know, USC has been down, but they play them every year. Stanford's been down, but these are traditionally good teams. I would say they always have a formidable schedule. Obviously they played Cincinnati this year. Like they play Wisconsin. They play for the, you know, people will say, oh, they play Navy every year, blah, blah, blah. Well, look, Navy is still better than Louisiana Monroe or whoever, right? SEC is going to schedule
the Citadel.
Yeah. So I've never been one to just like knock Notre Dame's schedule, because I think a lot of that's BS, but you're right. So now he has to face every year at minimum Bama, A&M, Ole Miss, and Auburn. Those are four schools that are going to give you, even when they're down, all they can handle, minimum. And I mean, look, again, the money was like 10 years, $95 million. But what he said, it's just funny that his last quote after their last game on Saturday was that he wouldn't take the job. So I'm so sick of this is what pisses me off about us. I'm just sick of guys. Why even set yourself up to fail? It's the same way Nick Saban did that when he was coaching the Dolphins. Why even say, I'm not leaving here? Why even say that? If somebody asks you, if a reporter asks you, just say, I don't know, man.
And we're now getting, this is becoming more and more common. I mean, we talked about it with Aaron Rodgers. We talked about it with, you know, people signing in free agency. We talk about it with coaches leaving. It's like, you just seem like such a dick when you straight up lie.
Yeah.
Like, be like, hey, listen, you know, life's a journey and we never know where this journey is going to take us. There's no roadmap to my career. You know, I wouldn't be at Notre Dame if I hadn't, you know, pursued that opportunity, blah, 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 blah. But I love it here and I hope I'm going to be here for a long time. And then, but when you say I'm not taking another job and then you do, you're just a liar.
You're just a liar. And if I'm a recruit, see, that's the worst part is like the kids. Imagine you're a Notre Dame player.
Imagine you're a top high school football player and you've committed to spending 4 years of your life at a Catholic school in South Bend, Indiana.
Do you know he left a recruit's house and then took the job? That's the story. He was at a recruit's house and left.
Fuck your couch.
So this is exactly what he said.
Coach, you were just on my couch. Fuck your couch.
This is what he said when asked Saturday after the final game against Stanford if he would take another job. No. I mean, look, I think Mike Tomlin had the best line, right? Unless the fairy godmother comes by with that $250 million check, my wife would want to take a look at that first. I'd have to run it by her. Well, it wasn't 250 million, dude. It was 95
yeah.
million.
Yeah.
It wasn't even close to 250. So you're a fucking liar.
Yeah.
You're a piece of shit. And again, like I said, I don't care if you leave to take more money. I'll never care about that. It's not going to bother me. But like you said, just don't lie, dude. Don't lie. Or when you're introduced as LSU's head coach, just say, hey, I shouldn't have said that. I fucked up. But I was presented with this opportunity and here I am. But good luck. I never thought about him eating the spicy food. That's a whole other factor. That's I think it's a legit concern.
Now, did you see the story about now two NFL head coaches and Saleh and LaFleur having to like shovel his driveway? Did you see this tweet?
No.
Oh my God. It's a incredible quote. Hold on one second.
I think Brian Kelly's just a dick, to be honest. I think he's a good coach because he's been successful.
Oh, this is the ultimate dick thing you've ever read. Okay. On a winter night in Mount Pleasant, Michigan, Matt LaFleur and Robert Saleh thought they were invited to a party at the home of their boss, Central Michigan University football coach Brian Kelly. Turns out they weren't on the guest list. They were on the worker list. We shoveled the snow and parked cars all night. Then at the end of the night, we had to go get the cars again. And then they went back to a tiny apartment they shared as graduate assistants and stood around their kitchen table, the one without any chairs. We decided that when we're in that position, we're never going to treat people the way we got treated.
Wow. And Maddie's
lived up to it.
That's
he invited his coaches to a party. How would you like to mow my lawn?
And what's great is those two guys are NFL head coaches now.
Yeah.
You got to send me that tweet. That's wild. Again, he's a dick. He's a good coach. He's won everywhere he's gone.
Yeah.
But he's a dick. I would never want to play for that guy. And to be honest, and I know it's getting personal now. I hope he loses every game. And now, Mr. Anti-Notre Dame here, I hope they win every game. Fuck him.
Love to have you on board. I also saw a great tweet about him being excited to like coach practice in a Louisiana hurricane. Because you remember the whole fucking wind.
That was a great tweet. Yeah, somebody died.
Yeah.
You know that kid who died? I think he tweeted out, I hope I don't die today. I'm being serious.
Yeah, I remember that.
Like, that's how eerie it is. And he took zero responsibility for that. Yeah, so fuck you, Brian Kelly. And to be honest, I don't think it's a good fit for them. I don't know. Just the thought of like, here's this guy, he's Midwest, you know, all his career. It's like Grand Valley State, Central Michigan, Cincinnati, Notre Dame. He's a Midwest Irish Catholic guy. And suddenly he's in the South. Again, what's going to happen when one of his recruits' moms puts some jambalaya in front of him?
Yeah.
But anyway.
He's like, I'm definitely going to eat this. It looks delicious. And then he's going to look her in the eye and throw it in the garbage. Fuck your jambalaya.
I got to reveal I got to discuss the details that were revealed about Lincoln Riley's contract, which are wild. So this is what he's getting from USC. $110 million. SC is buying. He had two homes in Norman because I guess he was building a home.
Okay.
So they're buying the home they were living in. They're buying the home they were building. He gets a $6 million house in LA. And also his family gets unlimited use of a private jet 24/7.
Wow.
I mean, that's just right. That's just icing on the cake.
Yeah.
$110 million.
Hope they do okay.
All they have to do in college football, it's such a simple rule, which obviously the NFL does and every other professional sports organization does. You can't interview somebody midseason.
Yeah.
It's that easy of a fix. Dude, it'd be like the Chiefs playing in the AFC Championship and I don't know. A team like the Raiders comes to him and they say, because, you know, it's always about the money with these college coaches. Hey, what are you making for the Chiefs? We will triple that salary right now.
Yeah.
And Andy Reid's like, peace. You guys are on your own. You guys are on your own for the AFC Championship. That's the exact equivalent of what Brian Kelly did.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, it happens with coordinators in the NFL, people, but they don't end up leaving. And also you need permission to do it. Otherwise, you got to wait for your guy.
Well, yes. You can't interview at all during season. Did you know that?
Right.
So that's been the knock on like Eric Bieniemy and some of these guys. They say sometimes it hurts how far they go.
Right.
Because they can't interview.
And guys want to get it done.
Yeah. And positions get filled. Because there's no way. If Brian Kelly said to LSU, hey, I want this job. We might be in the playoffs. Let me finish out this season. There's no way in hell LSU rescinds that offer or redacts that offer. There's no way.
Yeah.
That's just him being a dick. All right. That was our college football portion of the show. It was a lot, Joe.
Listen, I'm still on team pretend college sports doesn't happen. So I'm glad you got it out. And now we're on to other topics.
We're on to more serious topics like Peng Shuai. Here we are, Joe.
We thought we were done with Peng Shuai. It turns out it was just an animatronic Peng Shuai, and they won't let people actually review the video. They're like, oh, no, I've seen the video. Have you? Can I see it? They're like, no, you can't.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought this up to me. I had seen it, but like you said, hey, we should
like
talk
Peng
about
Shui's
it.
Fine. She's in the other room. Oh, can you get her? Hold on. It's like, oh, I'm just over here. I'm fine. I can't come out right now because I'm in a bathing suit, a bath towel, but I'm good. You heard that. She's fine.
Yeah. So a lot has happened.
Nothing to see here.
In the last 24 hours. I'm going to play a list. My favorite is, so, I mean, this guy, I love when this guy makes the rounds. So senior International Olympic Committee member, Dick Pound.
Right.
Bro, can you just go by Richard?
Yeah.
Do you really got to go by Dick Pound? Claims that she's all right.
He also claimed Brian Kelly was staying at Notre Dame. So we have to start questioning Dick Pound's word at this point.
Dude, how are you not a porn star? Just how are you not a porn star? You can't be this old white guy running the International Olympic Committee. You got to be a porn star if your name's Dick Pound.
Yeah.
So he went on. He had an interview with CNN's. Is it Christiane Amanpour?
Yeah.
And I'm not going to play because it's like 4.5 minutes as far as what she posted on Twitter. But I love the let me play this quick part. Because everyone's saying we want the video. So basically what's happening is the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, claiming they spoke with her and she's fine. And they talked with her. And everybody's saying, then where's the video, man?
Right.
So this was his response to, let me just, it's around this area, to why they're not releasing the video.
To get in touch with her, and that, you know, that's her sport. And maybe she didn't like the attitude that they were showing. Now, whether that was discussed on the video or not, I don't know. It may be one of the ground rules was that the full content would not be released because there may have been some private matters discussed in the course of the 30-minute conversation. But
okay, so that's my favorite. So they're not releasing the video because private matters were discussed.
Like, where the fuck she's been?
Dude, this is the wildest thing ever. Like, well, here's what this shows. And I'm not trying to hammer this home, but it's so fucking true. Like, China owns us. Like, they own us. Like, we need to just, like, accept that from everything that we're wearing. Or this cop, whatever, like they own us, right? And I know it sounds bleak, but like I don't know how that changes.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Alex Presler's nodding.
Like,
and he's like, vote for Donald Trump Jr. Let's go.
I don't know. Whoa. Yeah, I just think I don't know if it's a relationship that, like, I said last episode, right? Like a Jemele Hill needs a Clay Travis. I don't know if that's the similar thing with the United States and China. Like, they need, like, I don't know the economics. I'm not smart enough. Do they need us just as badly because we buy all their shit? Right? Like, yeah. Does it go both ways?
I'm sure it does. I mean, the whole world buys their shit, but obviously we're the, you know.
But you hear this.
And I mean, you talk about all the entertainment, you know.
That's what I'm saying.
Chinese funding, all that stuff. We make all that shit.
I mean, Disney Plus pulled an episode of Simpsons because of a Tiananmen Square reference that was anti-Chinese Communist Party. I mean, that's how much they own us. But the Women's Tennis Association did something which I was shocked, and we'll see if they hold to this. They are suspending, because of the Peng Shui situation, they're suspending play in China immediately. And they're saying it might go through all the way of 2022. And the financial implications of this would be hundreds of millions of dollars lost by the Women's Tennis Association. So
solid move by them.
I mean, it's the first, or like, that's what I'm saying. Like, everybody wants to focus on sports. The NBA is not standing up or so and so. I'm like, no one's standing up. It's not just, no one has stood up to China, if you want to say stand up, whatever you want to call this. No one has done what the Women's Tennis Association is doing. And I think that can't be understated. It takes balls to do what they're doing because money talks. And obviously,
Andy, even the term it takes balls, they don't have balls, but they're still doing it. So maybe it takes vagina to stand up to China. It takes vagina to stand up to China. That's going to be the WTA's new catchphrase for their upcoming season.
Well, I'll read what the real quick. So the Women's Tennis Association president and CEO, his name is Steve Simon. And, you know, I think he said it best as far as why they're doing this.
Just because you started, we had Dick Pound before. You're gonna be like, the president of WTA, cock slap. Thank God it's just Steve Simon.
So he said, our approach to this and our request to the authorities are consistent, and they're still there. We definitely would like to have our own discussion with Peng and be comfortable that she's truly safe and free, has not been censored, intimidated, or anything like that. We still haven't been able to have that conversation to have the comfort that we were seeing isn't being orchestrated to date. The second element of that is that we want a full and transparent, without any level of censorship, investigation on the allegations that were made. And, you know, at this point,
the head of the tennis association in China, Dong Bang, replied, obviously, said, Dick Pound won't be pushing Dong Bang around.
This is my favorite quote, though. I mean, again, this shows some serious balls. In good conscience.
Vagina, Andy. It shows some serious vagina.
It shows some serious vagina, some serious vag. Can I say that? Some serious vag. In good conscience, I don't see how I can ask our athletes to compete there when Peng Shuai is not allowed to communicate freely and has seemingly been pressured to contradict her allegations of sexual assault. Given the current state of affairs, I am also greatly concerned about the risks that all our players and staff could face if we were to hold events in China in 2022. So look at that, man. The Women's Tennis Association with some serious vag action. Dick Pound, is he?
How long until Enes Kanter is dating a women's tennis player?
What if he marries Peng Shuai? Dude, here's my thing on all this. Like I always said, like it goes back to the same thing in college football. Money talks. If people just own it, I don't care.
Right. Exactly. I mean, this goes for everything. That's what I said. That's what I mean. Same thing I said about Scherzer. It's like, dude, just stop pretending and just be like, yeah, I can be bought. This is the number.
Yeah,
I actually don't stand for anything whatsoever.
I think you look so much worse when you don't just ignore it. Like if Disney just said, hey, there's 2 billion people in China. That market's too important to us. We're removing an episode of The Simpsons because of that market. Dude, at least you were honest. I mean, you're still a bitch, but at least you're honest. We all have a price. We all have a price. There's things I would do for money. We all have a price. Just be honest. Brian Kelly, just be honest. Scherzer, be honest. A corporation, a company, be honest. That's why the Women's Tennis Association thing is such a big deal, in my opinion, because they're arguably the first organization of any to say, we're putting money aside.
Yeah.
We don't care about the bottom line here. So good for them. All right, what else we got going on here? We got so much going on here. Speaking of money, this is a good segue. The MLB is locking out, Joe.
It's official. No more free agent contracts will be signed. No one's allowed to go to team, facilities. We are locked out. Baseball is locked out. Do I feel, as a Mets fan, cursed? Of course I do. We're in the midst of a free agent signing bonanza. We're circling, Chris Bryant. We're circling all these guys, and baseball's like, nah, fuck the Mets. We're going to shut this whole thing down.
Well, I think
we're not going to have a season. Scherzer's 38. I've already got to deal with old fucking stomp face stomping around the mound. He's not going to pitch again until he's 41.
I think the season will happen. I think there's too much money at stake.
It looks like some of the things that we'll have to, it's all, these things are always, a negotiation ploy. The players want this and this and this. And Major League Baseball is like, well, what if, well, we'll give you that. But it's like, you have to accept 7 teams from each league in the playoffs and a designated hitter in the National League. And you're like, so you are willing to do all this stuff? But you're just going to use it as an opportunity. Dude, 7 teams, 14, that's half of the league makes the playoffs. It's so stupid.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. What is the whole reason for that? Just money?
Yeah, the players want
TV money.
No, the players want more money for the early days in their career, how quickly they can get to their first big free agent signing. It's all, you know, Major League Baseball has a hold of these guys. Now there's a thing, you don't come up till June. That pushes your year back. Then you have one more year before you're whatever. So Major League Baseball for a while has been manipulating how long it takes for these guys. Now, the flip side of the coin is obviously when you do sign that contract, there is no limit on what you can sign. You know, there's no max free agency deal. There's no salary cap. There's no whatever, but it's totally understandable because like not every guy eventually gets to that huge contract. So like pay these guys. I mean, I saw a great meme about it the other day. It's like, baseball players through the minors in their early years will be making $1,100 a month and eating Taco Bell. And the next day they'll get a $900 million contract. It's like, we can balance this out a little bit.
Yeah, no, it's true. Well, there, I mean, because they knew the lockout was happening. So there was just wild signings. I think I saw, I don't know the exact number. I think it was said about $1.4 billion in signings in the last two or three days.
The Rangers going crazy.
Yeah. So they gave Corey Seager $325 million.
Yeah. Dude, it's crazy where we're at. I mean, like Seager's a good player, but
$325 million. That is a lot of money for him.
It's bananas.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about like, you think about the comparison to like football, like the Mahomes number was insane, $500 million, but you know,
he earned it.
Seager's getting 64% of Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is like the fucking greatest quarterback talent we've ever seen and successful in sports. Seager's like, I don't know, this eighth best shortstop in baseball or something like that.
Yeah.
And like historically nobody yet.
Oh yeah. I mean the money that basketball and baseball players make versus football, obviously one has a lot larger roster. And I think that's basically the difference because there's only so much money. But again, one has a salary cap too, as far as baseball versus football.
This is like, that's how cursed I feel as a Mets fan. Like for years and years and years, I've been calling for a salary cap in baseball. And this will, it'll probably be like suddenly in a panicked negotiation, there's a salary cap and
I don't think that's going to happen.
The Mets get the richest owner in baseball instead of the poorest. And suddenly we're going to have a fucking salary cap. It's not going to happen, but it'll happen eventually.
They'll do a salary floor, which I agree with.
Yeah.
Right. Like the teams, the Pirates of the world who are just continuing to tank.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a minor league team they're fielding. Some of these teams, you just can't do that. And I'm all for the salary floor. You got to spend a minimum amount. You can't just waste an entire, you know, these teams that are wasting, you're wasting an entire 162 game season, which is terrible for the fans too.
Yeah.
I know it was end of the season, but I told you, I went to that game at PNC Park, beautiful park. It was 5,000 people there. It's the most depressing game. You could hear everything. I couldn't take a shit because I thought the fucking batters might hear me. I mean, it was depressing in there. Almost as depressing as what my team is. You guys are at least signing players. The Reds have literally done nothing but give people away. It's dude, this town, the curse of Cincinnati. I mean,
we just need to talk about it. They're not signing anybody. They're giving people away. They don't have an indoor facility. I mean, what's going on there? It almost feels like at some point you have to hold them to the same standard you hold the Bengals to. They're not trying to win.
No, they're not right now. They did before 2020. I just think if you're going to own a professional team.
Yeah. Why? I mean, the idea of buying it, I mean, that's what's been great about Steve Cohen. It's like the idea of buying it and trying to like manage it just to like make some money off it.
Yeah.
It's like, then why be that? Like, there's so many people out there with money these days that want it. I mean, Mark Cuban's been begging to get into baseball for years, you know, and they won't let him in. He's the kind of guy who comes in and be like, we'll do whatever it takes to win. It's crazy. That's what's why baseball is shitty.
Why would they not want a Mark Cuban type personality?
Old boys club. We don't want a guy in coming to rock the ball. I mean, the Mets had to fucking work really hard to get Steve Cohen approved.
Yeah, but okay.
When the Wilpons were the fucking Ponzi scheme scumbags.
If I'm a fellow owner, right? Because you're really not competing against each other. It's really good for baseball if one team's good and brings more excitement. So if I'm an owner, I say, hey, if somebody like a Mark Cuban type personality brings fanfare,
but you look at him,
doesn't that help all of baseball?
Look at his personality online, look at his politics, look at whatever. You know, he's also the kind of guy that comes in and is like, yeah, you know, in Dallas, I gave everybody PlayStation 5s in their locker because, and this is going to be crazy, guys, and I know this might upset some of you, they're human beings. And they're going to be like, you get the fuck out of here. You get the fuck, you take your fucking Shark Tank episodes and you get the fuck out of our office. They are not human beings. They are young, hick, white kids. They're young Hispanic kids. They're young African Americans. They're subhumans. They're not humans. And we won't pay them a living wage in the minor leagues. And we won't pay them a living wage until they're in their sixth year of professional baseball. So Mark Cuban, get the fuck out of here.
But again, right? Like you would think any sort of excitement is just good for the game because more excitement equals more fans equals more money. It's revenue sharing.
Now we're back to talking about college football and why is there a fucking 14 playoff instead of a 16 team playoff? You know, like, yeah, because dumb old white guys can't get out of their own fucking way.
But I never understood that because it's like, you're supposed to, if you got to this position in your life, most of these people were businessmen, right? So they made some very sound decisions, smart decisions.
But you know, so many of them, it's family owned now, and so-and-so's kid is running this, and so-and-so's fucking daughter is running that. And
yeah, the Bengals.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man, but I just know that, like, it is tough for you to ask an entire city to just sit through losing, and you know, going in.
And the thing is with baseball, people don't sit through losing. They just don't go.
They just don't go. I know.
It's too slow for the casual fan just to go. There's no tailgate scene. There's no whatever. Like,
you're right.
People don't just go to the game to fucking go.
You're right. It's not like football. You're just like, whatever. We suck 8 games a year. We're going to drink. We're going to hit the tailgate. We're going to be with friends. And hopefully they're doing that with some Miller Lite, Joe. Because I don't know what tailgate scene is even a tailgate scene if you don't have the official light beer of the Dirty Sports Podcast.
You know, I went to the Clips game with Clipcast host and dear friend of our show, Chris Wild, last night. We had some Miller Lights, watched the Clippers lose to the Kings. It was a glorious night, you know? It's just like, We're a sports show, and we are presented by the greatest beer in the history of all liquids, and nothing goes together like sports and Miller Lite. Truly,
yeah, and nothing goes together like the holidays in Miller Lite.
Oh yeah,
you know what's great is that Miller Lite has some, and we talked about this last week. Some of the apparel they have at shopmillerlite.com. Dude, these sweaters are amazing. And I'm working on getting us some.
Oh, yeah.
right?
I already have a Miller Lite Christmas sweater. I mean, adding another to my collection would be fantastic. You guys should do it. And just like I always say, send me pictures. Shout out to all the dirtballs who did. Send me pictures of their Miller Lights next to their Thanksgiving meals. Send me pictures of you wearing some of that Miller Lite merch.
Yeah, and get this. They also have limited edition holiday wrapping paper packaging on select packs.
Ooh.
So get you some, not only get a Miller Lite gift, you get a Miller Lite wrapping paper to wrap around that Miller Lite gift. Miller Lite, great taste, 96 calories. Give the gift of Miller time this holiday season by going to MillerLite.com/dirty sports to find delivery options near you, or pick up some Miller Lite pretty much anywhere they sell beer. Tis Miller time. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces. Do you have any big holiday plans?
Going back to New York to see the fam.
Nice. When are you heading back there?
The 13th of December. So the day after my Giants play your Chargers here at SoFi.
Yeah, big game.
It will be a big game it'll definitely be a big game for the Chargers. Has potential of being a big game for the Giants as well, although they would have to survive a weekend in Miami this Sunday, possibly playing without Daniel Jones, who hurt his neck. And hilariously ironic that with a neck injury, he'll be replaced by Mike Glennon, one of the most famous necks in all of sports.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of irony going on there. Well, we can jump to the picks. I think we should do it here. It's week 13. It's been a little chatter. Saw a little chatter on Reddit. I popped in. So, you know, we had a little chatter last episode. You're not liking me saying, I was throwing you some picks. That's fine.
No, throwing me some picks. Yeah, I don't like the idea that that's presented. I mean, I even said, I was also just surprised Mata, the ultimate Andy Ruther troll, was so quick to be like, oh, well, this closed the gap. First of all, we've been doing this for years, and a lot of it is strategy. Oh, I'm going to do it different for the show. I'm going to do it different so that you pick up one and it gets closer. I'm going to do it different for the show. If it had gone your way, if those had gone different your way, you're running away with this thing.
Sure.
I mean, we've been doing this for how many years? Picking against each other, I mean, it's very much part of the strategy. And when to do it and when not to do it. And, you know, sometimes you got to take those wild swings at one you may not believe in because you're trying to extend a lead or close a gap.
Well, here we are.
Here we are.
A 12-point lead already shrunk down to 4. We have, 6 weeks remaining, including this week, week 13. And this spread we're about to start with is already moved since, it's already moved since the game, since we started recording this podcast. It's already moved half a point. So we get our spreads at sportsbook.fanduel.com. I will start off. It's Cowboys, Saints. Cowboys have back-to-back Thursday games. Maybe it's because of the news of all the guys not playing again for the Saints. Kamara's out again. Taysom Hill will be starting.
At quarterback?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
So the Saints got destroyed at home by the Bills.
Right.
All indicators say the Saints are, they're in a tailspin.
I mean, as are the Cowboys.
They are. But let's not underestimate how valuable Jameis Winston is, right? Jameis 1-1 would say. I believe they have not won a game since he went down.
They won their first one, didn't they?
Did they?
I think so. Simeon played okay.
Oh, yeah. They beat the Bucs.
Yeah.
They won their first game. By the way, I'm hearing some chirping about letting Russ cook some jambalaya down in New Orleans.
Wow. Is that the – dude, I mean, Russ cost me a lot of money on Monday. Your boy, I mean, post-injury and –
he's terrible.
His throwing motion is completely different.
I don't know what's going on. He's missing guys by 5 yards.
He's missing guys by 50 yards at times. Like, I mean, I was like, who the fuck is that ball thrown to? The referee's like, who's going to get that? All the way down there.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. He's just sailing passes. And his thing was always his accuracy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even close. What a debacle of a game that was. And yet they were still right there. I don't know how.
And how Pete Carroll just at this point isn't like, we only run the ball from the 2 yard line. We only run like I'll from this point on, I just can't like, I'm just going to run the ball from the 2 yard line. No matter what happens, at least I can say I just ran the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the most ludicrous. That pass. I mean, it's the same fucking thing. 2-point conversion to tie the game. You're just throwing like a back of the end zone crossing route. Like, we don't have a pick play. By the way, on 2-point conversions and anything from the 3 yard line in, like the unguardable pick play, like, why doesn't every team just do it every time? It's unguardable.
Yeah. And I don't think they call it that much. Okay. So out tonight, before we go over this pick, it's only fair. Out tonight is Kamara, one of their starting offensive tackles. Maybe two offensive tackles. I mean, it's a mess.
What is the line at, though, Andy?
It's 6.5.
Ooh.
It was 6 when we started the show. I'll go first. I hate to do this. I fucking hate to do this. And I'm not making excuses. I don't know who to pick, but I'm going to go with the Cowboys. I don't like it, but I'm picking it. No excuses.
It's tough. It's really.
And just so you know, I'm just reading now, Taysom Hill also has a injured foot, but he's starting. I don't know how injured.
I'm going to go with the Saints. 6.5. Here's why. I think
you're probably right.
I think this game comes down to just, can the Cowboys offense
score
be stopped? Yeah. By the Saints, or are they going to put up a bunch of points? And they've just looked really bad. And Amari Cooper is like kind of shut down this team. I mean, he's still out with COVID. He's had his COVID has led to multiple people being out with COVID. It's like, you can almost point to like Amari Cooper personally for derailing the Cowboys season.
Yeah. Well, here we are. You know, all signs, I'm not going to change my pick because it'd be kind of bullshit, but you really convinced me. It's like, it's a Thursday night game. Games are always close for the most part. I'll stay with the Cowboys. I don't like it.
I don't really like either pick either, but I'm not super confident. Doing it to be different.
There you are, right there. All right. Well, you get to start off the next one.
I mean, Vikings, the next one. Okay. Go ahead.
Vikings Lions. I'm sorry. Yeah, Vikings Lions. It is Vikings Lions. Minnesota 7-point favorites in Detroit.
I'm going to go with 7-point favorites, you say?
This game has push written all over it.
Yeah, exactly. It's tough. Seven's tough.
It's tough.
I'm going to go with the Vikings. I just think the Lions are down and out. And you know what? It's like perfect example of a team that the Vikings play really well against because the Lions are shit.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins. This is how the guy's still in the league. Because he gets to play shit teams every once in a while.
I just can't in my right mind pick Detroit. They're so bad. They're so bad. And I hope they lose every game after how their fans reacted. We got a call later, by the way. We're going to play about Detroit, city of Detroit. I like it. It's a good call. It's about the city of Detroit fans. And I have some insight into why I think people act how they act concerning their team. All right, so we're both going to take the Lions. Next up, the Cardinals travel to Chicago, where they're 7.5-point favorites. Now, I don't know who's starting for quarterback. It doesn't really matter for me. Andy Dalton, Justin Fields. I think Kyler Murray is back.
Kyler Murray is back?
I'm assuming, right? He's been. I mean, they had a bye week. He's already missed three games.
Yeah. I'm pulling this up. Where's that game? What the?
It's in Chicago. It's a big spread. 7.5.
Kyler Murray is still technically questionable.
Jesus Christ.
Justin Fields, questionable.
To me, it really doesn't matter. Does it matter to you? Like Andy Dalton, Justin Fields?
No, not really.
Doesn't really matter. They're coming off a bye. It's another game I don't like. I'm feeling a little pressure now with these. This, you closing in on me. I'm going to go Arizona.
I'm going with Chicago. And I'm going with Chicago simply because, yeah, the West to East, cold weather, warm weather to cold weather.
Hold on. Is Kyler Murray questionable?
He's questionable. I think you're right. He's probably playing.
I don't want to pick that if he's not.
Look at this pressure. Is just you're just cracking. Right,
I'm not
now.
Cracking. I don't want
to
pick.
You have yet to make one pick with like any sort of confidence whatsoever. Like, nah, I don't like it. Can't change it still.
I don't know. It's only week 13. Fuck it. I'll do Arizona.
Okay.
Watch. I'm going to get Colt McCoy.
I just think I just can see this being a sloppy cold weather game. I think at this point that the Chicago Bears are, they're another team. It's like, dude, if you just let this guy keep coaching, you're just spitting in the face of your fans.
Yeah. All right. So you're going to Chicago though.
Yes.
All right. Division game next. Bucks at Falcons. Big spread. 11 points.
Bucks, Falcons, 11 points.
In Atlanta. To me, this game comes down to the defense. Like, if the Bucks D gets the turnovers like they got against Indy, to me, this is a blowout.
Is this me first?
Yeah. It's a big.
I cannot believe I'm fucking doing this again. I'm going with the Falcons.
I knew you were going to do it.
I can't believe it. But 11 points in the NFL. It's not in a division game on the road. 11 points.
Why do you think that's so?
Why
do you think that's so high?
I don't know. That's why. If it wasn't so high, if it was 9.5. I'd be going with the Bucks. It's a 9. It's an 11. It's a double digit road favorite in a division game. To me, that just seems suspect.
It's a huge spread. It's huge. But I'm feeling risky. Tom Brady. This is one I'll definitely regret. The other ones, I'm just like, whatever. This is one I'll definitely regret.
We have picked every game differently except for the Lions game at this point.
Yeah. TB12. I'm going to trust you. Nah, I don't know. That could be a reckless decision. I don't know if I want to do that.
Guys, can you hear this? It's the fear and the cracking in Andy Reuther's. I mean, I'm not even talking. He's just talking himself out of picks. He's like, all right, I don't know.
I'll stay
with TB12. I don't know. It might not work though. It's there. Oh God, I probably already lost it.
I'll stay with the Bucks. All right. Colts, Texans, another big spread in division. 10-point Colts favorite on the road. I'm up first. I'm going to go. Well, I picked the Texans last week. They didn't cover. I picked them to win in the Jets. They didn't even win. I feel like they played decent at times with Tyrod Taylor. But to me, this reeks. No, I'll pick the Texans.
I'll pick the Colts. I picked the Jets to beat the Texans outright last week. I was correct. I will take the Colts to cover. I just think the Texans are really bad. And I know everybody's like, you know, Tyrod Taylor. It's like, I'm so fucking sick. Like, Tyrod Taylor at this point, like, he wins one game a year and people are like, you can win with Tyrod Taylor. You can win. I mean, you go on the road week one into Jacksonville, sneak out a win. You can win with Tyrod Taylor. They haven't won a game since.
This is crazy. We're just picking different games now.
Yeah.
And I went with the underdog Texans. That was another dumb move. But what are you going to do? Well, I have zero faith. You know why? All these spreads are just, they're fucking with me. Even like this next one.
I said, somebody put a nail in my coffin on Reddit a month ago. And I said, the thing about the Reuther curse is you can't have an epic collapse unless you have an epic lead to blow.
Dude. I mean, all these spreads, like this next one, I don't know what I'm doing. Luckily you're first. Eagles at Jets. That's a 7-point Eagles favorite. That's a big spread.
Yeah. This one was tough for me. I've been riding that the Eagles are shit. I've taken the Jets in a couple games and gotten some covers. I'm going to reverse it this week. I'm going to take in a strategy I've liked for a while. I'm going to take a team that covered last week to not cover this week against a team that didn't cover last week. So the zigzag theory, I'm going with the Eagles to cover this spread.
Yeah, the Jets won last week.
Yeah.
To me, they're off on.
And so are the Eagles.
They are.
And the Eagles are a trash team that has a trash system that will take advantage of terrible, you know, you're a really good college football team. And the Jets are a mediocre college football team. But you're both college football teams.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the Eagles as well. I just can't because the Jets just look so ineffective offensively. I just can't do them. I can't pick them. All right, this next game I will be attending. Chargers at Bengals. This is a good one. Bengals are 3-point favorites. So even on a neutral field, west to east is never easy. The two of the top quarterbacks from that draft class, I can't in my right mind pick the Bengals, being that I'm just going to be rooting for the Chargers at that game. I'm going to go Chargers.
Okay. This is another one where it's like a team that didn't cover last week against a team that had an incredible performance. But, dude, the Chargers at this point, the Chargers are my AFC Falcons at this point. Like, I don't have trust in them to do anything at all. Like, I don't care, you know, other than being in LA. But they're just not fucking good. I think this is one I might end up giving to you, but I'm going to take the Bengals. Can Randy Reuther get a who day?
Randy Reuther just texted me. I see.
Can Joe Pasquale get a who day?
All right. Your Giants travel to Miami. You mentioned this earlier.
Yeah.
No Daniel Jones.
That's the talk.
It's 4.5 right now.
Miami's favored by 4.5.
Yeah.
I'm going to take my Giants. Glennon or not.
I'm going to take them too, especially.
Glennon, they cover. Daniel Jones, they win outright.
This will be a good game for the.
And by the way, did you see this? Did you see this tweet we got?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
And I replied to it because I did. It was late last night. I came home from the Clippers game. I look at this, and now I've seen. Okay, an hour ago he corrected it. First 16 games of their career, it's Kyler. I'm not asking for anything but clear eyes and open hearts. So Big T Dobbs who sent this to us. I was confused. I didn't look at it close enough. And the reason I was confused is it said Tua 2021. And so I assumed we were comparing their whole careers. We weren't. We were comparing their first 16 starts. Now, why do Kyler Murray's first 16 starts all occur in 2019 and Tua's are 2020, 2021? Because he couldn't beat out Ryan Fitzpatrick and he can't stay on the field. What the fuck are we talking about? Not to mention, the first year, Kyler Murray has 500 rushing yards. Okay. 540 rushing yards. The second year, he's over 800. And he says this in his reply. Tua, 175 rushing yards and 6 touchdowns to Kyler Murray's 540 and 4. Tua's 6 rushing touchdowns in those first 16 games, I think were for a total of 13 yards. I'm not joking. Like, they were 1 and 2 yard runs. He's not the athlete. Like, Kyler Murray is great because he can run. Tua, okay, he might be mobile. Like, honestly, comparing those two guys is so offensive, and it's just weird, Alabama or Dolphins fans.
It's a tweet. The original tweet came from CBS, NFL and CBS on Monday. It was just comparing
the first 16 games, of which Tua's have spanned over 2 full years.
Well, and also Tua went to a team with a great defense.
Right. Kyler Murray was the first overall pick to a terrible team.
So
in year 2, his stats go bonkers. The other way, he rushes for 800. He's now over 1,500 career rushing yards and, like, I think 18 touchdowns.
Tua's not the answer. And comparing these guys, I think, is just so reckless. Tua's not the answer long term. If Tua was the answer long term, the Miami Dolphins would not even be contemplating a deal for Deshaun Watson. Right. End of story.
Tua, in my opinion, shouldn't be the answer short term. Look at where the Dolphins are now. This should be Ryan Fitzpatrick's team.
So, obviously I'm a big stack guy a lot of times, but the eye test obviously matters too. When I watch their games, I just see so many missed throws from Tua. These missed throws that Russell Wilson's been throwing all over the field, Tua does that all the time. It's the same type of, where's that ball going?
Miami's 13th in the conference in the AFC. The Giants are 13th in the AFC. We're talking about, you're comparing Tua to Kyler Murray. Should we do Daniel Jones versus Tua? Should we do Daniel Jones versus Kyler Murray? Is there anybody that's settled on Daniel Jones, Giants franchise quarterback? No, because he also isn't staying on the field. And he also isn't winning games.
Now, Murray's been hurt a lot this year, obviously.
Yeah.
But I'm going to take the Giants as well in this spread. 4.5 is too big.
I hope it's Tua. I hope Tua plays the whole game.
All right, next up, the Washington football team.
I never thought I'd say it, but I don't want to see Jacoby Briscoli this weekend.
Washington travels to Vegas. Vegas is 2.5-point favorites. Washington's won a few games in a row. The Vegas they're a tough team. The Raiders are a tough team. It's just like, you ready to put the nail in their coffin? Oh, they win in Dallas.
Right.
I'm going to do it. I hate to do it. Actually, I don't hate to do this. I'm going to take the Raiders to win and
cover. I'm going to take the Raiders as well. I just think Washington not that consistent. By the way, the difference between the Washington record and the Giants record right now is the fucking phantom offsides call in that game they played early in the year. And the Washington football team is currently a playoff team. Makes me want to fucking throw myself off a bridge.
Well, it's any consolation. We have a lot of bridges here in Cincinnati to jump off of. I don't know if that sounds appealing to you. You ever drive? Okay. I'm going to ask you this. I don't think I'm weird. I want to hear if the dirtballs think about this too. A lot of times when I, with the river, I'm always driving across the bridge. Anyone else just think, hey, if I just fucking rammed off, like how that would play out?
You said this before.
Have I?
Yeah.
Every time I drive across the bridge, the thought of, like, how's this going to play out? It's not that I want to kill myself. It's just, how does this play out?
I used to have a big fear of the car going off a bridge when I was a kid. I'd make my parents, no matter what the weather was, open the sunroof. I was like, just in case we go off the bridge, I want to be able to escape through the sunroof.
I like it. Very proactive.
Yeah.
So I have a dream a lot. The most common dream that I've had is that I'm driving up like a big bridge and there's another bridge on the other side, but you got to basically ramp off the big one. And I'm like suspended in air. And like,
you're just in Keanu Reeves speed as in your dreams.
Well, it's not
like
always,
the bus also can't go below 50 miles an hour.
Yeah. It's not always a bridge. A lot of times it's off a giant like cliff or ravine or a mountain. And I got to make it to the other side. But as I'm in air in the car, there's fear, but it's not like terrible fear. It's like, are we going to make it to the other side? This has been one of the most common dreams I've had my whole life. And I explained this to my therapist and he broke it down for me. He thinks he knows what the issue is. It's that I'm like trying to connect one thing to another. And there's fear when you make decisions in life and what's going on in your head when you're trying to do that. And it's like, wow, this is crazy, man. But yeah, that's like a common dream I've had.
And are you in the air a long time?
Yeah. Like suspended. A lot of times
I've had that recurring dream, but I've gone off a ski jump, not like an Olympic ski, but like I've been skiing and I hit a jump and then I'm like in the air. Every skier knows the feeling of being going off a jump and feeling out of control. And you start doing the windmill with your arms.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm in slow motion going like, oh God, this is going to be a disaster.
Yeah. But I've never died. Knock on wood.
Because if you die in your dreams, you die in real life.
That's what they say.
That's a Nightmare on Elm Street shit or something, right?
Yeah. Speaking of dying, let's talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers hosting the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
You're up first. The Ravens are 4.5-point favorites.
Well, I'm going to take the Ravens. Ravens covered for me the other night against the Browns in a sloppy game. Now they're going to cover for me in a crisp game at Pittsburgh, literally putting the nail into the Pittsburgh coffin. I think putting an end to the Roethlisberger era. Ravens go to Pittsburgh, roll.
Yeah, I can't in my right mind pick the Steelers after what they did against the Bengals last week. I just can't. So I'm going to go Ravens as well. Okay, the Jags travel to L.A. Rams are 13-point favorite. Big spread, doesn't matter. Rams put up some points. They better. I'm taking the Rams.
Thames. Odell, right. 2-touchdown game?
No fucking way. He said 1 touchdown in the last year and a half.
Should we wager on it?
Sure.
I got to get odds on a 2-touchdown game. What kind of bet are we making on this?
Two bowls of Skyline chili. No, I don't know. What do you want?
I don't know.
You know what your love for Odell is. You know what
Jersey Mike. Let's bet a Jersey Mike's gift card.
Okay, that's a good one.
you love Jersey Mike's. My $25 Jersey Mike's gift card to your $50 Jersey Mike's gift card.
Okay, fair enough.
If he scores 2 touchdowns. You owe me a $50 Jersey Mike's gift card. If he doesn't score 2 touchdowns, I'll give you a $25 Jersey
Perfect.
Mike's gift card.
By the way, I was there Tuesday after basketball practice, and I met my brother because I pick up his son from school, right? And I was taking him back, and that was halfway between where he was going to pick up his other kid. So we met Jersey Mike's, and he had a couple birthday gifts for me. And he says, hey, open the first one, but you can't let, you know, his son, you can't let him see it. You got to open it discreetly. It's a giant package of dick shaped lollipops. I'm sure you know which brother gave this to me.
Sure.
And I'm thinking, really, dude? Not only did you give it to me, like, you want me to open, it was wrapped. Like, you want me to open six flavored giant dick suckers in the middle of drink. And I go, there's so many layers. This was dad's favorite Jersey Mike's too. Like, there's a lot of layers. This, you have your son here. There's other people here. This was dad's favorite Jersey Mike's. Like, what is going on? He's like, I didn't think about all that. Unbelievable. Okay, the Niners traveled to Seattle. They're 3.5-point favorites. Is this a game where just like Seattle shows up? I just don't think that. Dude, Seattle.
That was supposed to be that was supposed to be the last game.
I know. I have zero faith in Seattle.
Me too.
I got to go with the Niners.
I'm almost tempted to say Russ doesn't finish this game.
Here's my thing with Russ. If he's not, it's the same thing with Baker Mayfield. Dude, if you're not healthy or if you don't feel comfortable, don't play.
Well, certainly if you're the, like, the Seahawks season's over already.
Yeah.
What are we doing? What are we playing him for? To show that he can, for who? You're actually better off losing now.
Yeah. I don't get it. I mean, he looks terrible. All right. We'll both take the Niners then. Next up.
I just don't want, to, like, whatever happens this offseason, please don't let Russ end up in a New York Giants uniform. I, like, wouldn't be able to handle it.
You'd love it. He'd be great for you guys.
No, he'd be he's terrible right now.
He is terrible right now. I don't know if it's a post-injury thing or what it is.
It was a finger.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know if it's psychological. The first time he got injured and he's back. I don't know. Who knows? Sometimes people just lose it and they don't recover. Hopefully that doesn't happen. All right. Your Sunday night game, Chiefs at home against the Broncos. Chiefs are 9.5-point favorites.
Broncos fucking ruined my life last week playing a great game against the Chargers. 9.5 seems really high for this game. I'm going to go with, where is it?
It's in Kansas City.
It still seems high.
I know. That's what I'm leaning that same way.
Is it my choice or it's your choice?
It's yours.
I'm going to go with Kansas City. Seems high. It seems so reckless that makes me want to do it.
It's high. Kansas City's also coming off a bye. The Broncos are one of those teams who looks great 1 week and then can't score. Bridgewater's always getting hurt. Dude, I can't. It's high, but I don't care. I'm taking the Chiefs just because, like, Bridgewater, Locke, like, I don't know. All right, your Monday night game is going to be a good one. Bills are at home, 2.5-point favorites against the Patriots. Everybody's on the Patriots, which means that they're set up to lose. But I can't do it. And Bill Belichick, I trust. I'm going to take the Patriots to cover.
I'm going to take the Bills.
And that's the best way to finish, is that we have different picks because we had a lot of different picks. I bet you we had six or seven different picks.
Yeah.
This could literally do nothing or make or break us.
For sure. Now, Andy, you know, we usually do plugs at the end of the show, but I'm going to start doing some plugs right now. What you need to do is you need to go upstairs while I'm doing plugs and go get a package that has been delivered to your front door.
Okay. I did it. That was the text, that there was a package. Okay. Yeah.
Guys, while Andy gets a package, I actually gave Andy's address to Randy Ruther, who wanted to send him a package. So, in the meantime, we won't have to do this at the end of the show. You can follow me on all social media at Joe Prano, except for, Twitter, where I'm still Fix Your Life. Definitely follow me on Instagram, where I'm posting all of my shows. Got some great shows coming up. This weekend here in Los Angeles at the Westside Comedy Theater. Next week, doing a Don't Tell comedy show in Redondo Beach on the 11th. Then I'll be back in New York, probably do some shows in New York. So if you are an East Coaster, stay on my Instagram, stay on my website. Got Sketchfest in San Francisco and Santa Cruz the end of January. So, you know, do all those things. Drink Miller Lite. Tell me about it. Share it with me on social media. And now we don't have to do plugs at the end of the show. And Andy is back. He's returned from upstairs. I told the fans I didn't know if I should do it, but I gave Randy Ruther your address.
Oh, wow. Let's see what we got here. Oh, boy.
What do you got? Oh my God. It's a Tiger shirt. It's a Bengal shirt. And it says, "Can Randy Ruther get a hoodie?"
A personalized Randy Ruther shirt made from the worst quality Gildan. You know, these heavy ones. You know, like the ones you'd never wear. Classic Randy Ruther.
Classic Randy Ruther. I put it in. But I think here's the thing. I think, Are you going to a San Francisco Bengals game as well?
I am next week.
I think I'm just proposing this on behalf of Randy Ruther. If the Bengals beat your Chargers this week, you should have to wear the can Randy Ruther get a hoodie shirt to the Niners game.
Yeah, I'll do that because that's pretty funny. And to be honest, even if the Chargers win, it'd be kind of funny to wear. I mean, I'm going to have to put a shirt on underneath because it'll be cold, but actually, I don't know if it will because that's one of those heavy ass.
You and I have always put a shirt on underneath so it doesn't cut you.
You and I have always talked about the Gildan shirts are the absolute worst.
I can tell you Randy Ruther tried to get you a different shirt, but it wouldn't ship in time. And he was like, no, I need to get one out.
Well, much love, Randy Ruther.
Randy Ruther get a who day? Well, Randy Ruther, I'm back in your Bengals this week. They better fucking come through for me.
Well, here's what I'll say to Randy Ruther. You know, he talked about shipping on time. If you want to send something and have it shipped on time, use ShipStation, Joe, right?
Absolutely.
That's what you got to use, Randy. If you're going to send something to someone and you want the most convenient and effective way to do it, use ShipStation. Guys, the holidays are the most wonderful time of the year. That's right. They are. But if you're running an online store, you know they can be the craziest time of year. So if you have inventory to manage or orders to fill, a list of customers, all those things are constantly adding up, especially during the holidays. ShipStation will help you out, and they will leave the customers happy. I'm reading this completely wrong. Leaving you with happier customers and more freedom to run your business or enjoy much needed time off. So if you guys do sell anything online, I know everybody does the online game now. And if you get frustrated with some of your shipping, that'll be alleviated by simply going through ShipStation. You can change your shipping solution, and this is the best way to do it. So make this holiday season a little brighter with ShipStation. Use our offer, Dirty, to get a 60-day free trial. Just enough time to handle the holiday rush. Just go to ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top, and enter code Dirty. ShipStation, make ship happen. Okay, let's do a few calls. I know we both have time constraints today, but we got time for a couple calls, right?
Of course.
All right.
Always for the dirt balls.
All right, 310-359-8365 is the hotline. So we're going to mow through. We're not going to get to too many, but I'm going to start off with this hot take conspiracy.
Okay, I like it. I love a good conspiracy theory.
This is a new one I've never heard. Where are we at here with this one? All right, let's start it off.
Going on, long time dirtball. I have a conspiracy theory I got to get off my chest right now. Mike Florio and Adam Schefter are trying to undermine the Green Bay Packers at any chance they get. Before you stop listening, they are being paid off by Jerry Jones, Schneider, all these owners trying to make their team look good, trying to undermine the Packers. this has been going on for a couple of years now. They are reporting that, like, the Odell Beckham, that, oh, the Packers would have had him if they paid him more right before the game. That was never true. Florio just keeps reporting crazy stuff on Rodgers. I know you can say what you want about his vaccine status, but Florio is now trying to report that Rodgers is mad at the Packers medical staff for releasing his info. That's my conspiracy theory. If I die, condoms are for Roger Goodell.
Why? Okay.
There's not too much evidence here.
Why is Florio anti-Packers? Because he's being paid by the Dallas. Why is Jerry Jones anti-Packers? So why is Schneider anti-Packers?
So his line, his evidence was that it was reported before the game that Odell was looking at the Packers, which we kind of already knew, but that they just wanted to give him the league minimum.
Right.
And his other argument is that Florio keeps reporting stuff about Aaron Rodgers. And
by the way, the Odell thing, they leaked that before the Rams-Packers game. The Packers win.
Yeah. Oh, you know how he like was doing that call in a hurry? Like, did he think he's gonna get murdered?
Yeah, that was it was a real JFK, if I can say it, it was like a deep throat situation. He was like, ah, listen, calling from a payphone. They could be anywhere. There's helicopters above me. The Mike Florio, he's watching all of us. I gotta go.
By the way, I can't think of a more unintimidating guy than Mike Florio.
Yeah.
Like, if there was a, like, that's the most unintimidating
guy. You need
guy
to stop talking about the Rodgers situation. Mike Florio, get the fuck out of my house.
Like, I don't think I could take many people in a fight. I think I could take Mike Florio.
I feel like I could take Mike Florio's phone and I'd just hold it above my head and be like, now who's tweeting? Come on, jump for it. Jump, Mike Florio.
And why do Daniel Schneider?
I also love that Mike Florio is just like part, like Mike Florio's at home. He's like, yeah, we're doing a little conspiracy against Rodgers.
Is it because the Packers are like they're owned by people? You know, their stockholders owned.
Listen, I'm into the conspiracy theory. You need to call back with more evidence.
He said a couple years.
Yeah. Think what you want about his vaccine status. Oh, I will. He's a damn dirty liar.
Well, I just think he was high when he left that call. That's my conspiracy on top of his conspiracy. Yeah. Bro, you just smoked weed and came up with this idea. It's cool. I come up with wild ideas when I'm high too. Like, being high is the best time to come up with wild, insane ideas that make no sense. You know, my favorite thing to discuss when I get high with people, and people are always like, what's wrong with you? Or I don't know, is there someone else doing the exact same thing as me right now? Are there two of us?
Right.
Like, I think that's a fun discussion to have. Like, is there someone right now doing a podcast in a different universe that is me and you? That's a good one.
Well, I got to shout out this guy, Fish. What's his name? I think he's on social media as, let me pull it up. Fishing with Kev on Instagram. Everybody go check out Fishing with Kev on Instagram, because I got a message from Fishing with Kev on Instagram. And he was like, hey, my friend found you. You're my doppelganger. And the dude actually looks a lot like me, Fishing with Kev. And then he sent me one of his Fishing with Kev hats. So now I'm literally this Fishing with Kev fella.
You're Kev.
I'm Kev. You can go fishing with me.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. The next call is our disgruntled Detroit fan.
Okay.
Just
can't wait to hear this.
Just had enough with his town and his city.
What's going on, guys? Hunter from middle of nowhere, Michigan. And here we go again. I get home last night, talking to my father, and he's talking about all the signings that the Detroit Tigers have made, Baez being one, some pitcher that's from the Red Sox, I can't remember what his name is, and, you know, we're talking, oh, we're making a push. They're going to be really good next year. And apparently I'm the only Tigers fan that remembers 2014. We had, I think, every single starter was a Cy Young winner, or is a Cy Young winner now. Porcello, Verlander, Scherzer, blanking on the other ones. But anyway, like, we've been here before, and honestly, I'm just going to pull one from Ruther and say, you got to prove to me that we're actually something. I mean, we made one World Series during that time, but it just seems to me like every single fan from, like, some of these states, and obviously Michigan, you know, the Lions fans, don't even get me started there. But what is it about sports teams where they can just make, like, one or two signings and everyone's dick gets fucking rock hard, and then they just go, oh, my gosh, we're going to be good. We have a shot. We're going for it. It's like you signed a couple of good pieces. Calm the fuck down until you actually do something on the field. That's all. Condoms are for the Tigers fans that just, I don't know. Fuck. Yeah, whatever.
Well, listen, we've all been there.
Yeah. Look, I think this is where, like, I like psychology, and I'm fascinated by the way people think and our feelings and emotions and, like, why we act and say certain things. I think that's what you're tapping into, is that people want they want to hold on to something positive.
Exactly.
Which I get, like, that's a good way to look at life. Like, you want to hold on, you want to find a silver lining, but the problem is it blinds, especially sports fandom, over reality. And especially, like you're saying, like I get it. Again, Cincinnati, very similar. It's like you hold on to the smallest win, and you've now set the bar so low for your team and your expectations. Like, there's no reality in these assumptions that the team's going to do so well,
right?
And that's what it boils down to.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that, you know, fans want so desperately to get excited, and they always think, like, oh, and listen, as a Mets fan and a Giants fan, like, you do, I've done this where you think it's the beginning of something, but then I mean, there's a little bit of strategy to those franchises who make that decision too, where they're like, yeah, we're just going to make a couple moves, and that should set most of the fans at ease. But we're really not trying. We're doing everything we can, maybe within our financial budget or whatever, but we're not actually, like, attempting to go all in and compete. But this will keep the fans off our back, and it works.
It works all the time. I mean, that's one of my, what he's saying, that's one of my biggest gripes with the Cincinnati Bengals fans, what he's saying about the Tigers. It's the exact same thing. I mean, right. if you could hear some of the wild things that I've been told, I just say, wait a second. I'm not going to say who this person is, because I like this person, but person close to me, one of the biggest offseason moves that they were claiming was going to make the Bengals better was a new O-line coach. And I just laugh. I'm like, O-line coach? By the way, the Bengals are a lot better. Joe Burrow is also the second most sacked guy in the NFL. It has nothing to do with their offensive line. But this was one of his big pushes to me and my brother. Oh, you wait and see. We got a new O-line coach. This guy, I'm saying, O-line coach? This is the thing you're holding on to, is that they have a new offensive line. No fan has ever used that argument in the history of NFL fandom. But this is what people do. I don't know. I understand you want to have optimism, but sometimes you just got to face the reality. And your team might just suck. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
All right. Do we have time for any more?
We can do one more. I think we got time for.
Okay. I'll save the other ones. We've had a lot of calls about, per last week, what people ate before some high school.
Okay.
Sports events. So we'll save those, because there's multiple. I'll ring this one up. real quick. I think this is it.
What's up, Joe? What's up, Andy? It's Julian Edouard here, number one ranked West Michigan light skin dirt baller. I just wanted to leave a call to propose that we have a new song as the intro for Dirtball or Dirtballer Calls. Orange Soda by Baby Keem. Let me just read the first few lines of this for you guys. Bitch, sit on my face, I attack that. Choose up, Lil Jun, I'm finna pack him. When it comes to my bitch, I'm straight active. Here's the way I'm gonna listen to. Dirtball in the coop, smoking cat piss. Lil bitch, shut the fuck up. Tell your best friend, shut the fuck up. He literally mentions Dirtball in the coop, smoking cat piss. He's a Los Angeles-based rapper. He's Kendrick Lamar's cousin, and he's huge without most people even fucking knowing that. It's just too perfect. Let me know what you guys think, and listen to the song, because shit is fire. But yeah, that's all I really got to say. OJ didn't do it. Stay dirty. Peace out, guys.
OJ, do you have the song queued up?
No, I can't play it because we're on YouTube.
Oh, right.
Sorry. And that's another reason we're not going to be able to play that.
Right.
There's copyright issues, man.
What's the song called?
Yeah, what is it called? It's hold on.
What's up, Joe? What's up, Andy? It's Julian Edouard here, number one ranked West Michigan light skin dirt baller. I just wanted to leave a call to propose that we have a new song as the intro for Dirtball or Dirtballer Calls. Orange Soda by Baby Keem.
Okay. Orange Soda.
Okay. I'm going to listen to it after the show.
Yeah. Sorry, man. I mean, I'm playing it just because to let you guys know that, you know, it's this is something we got to deal with. Yeah. Anyway, 310-359-8365. That's the hotline. Follow us on social at The Dirty Sports. I know I have tons of you guys koozies. I'm terrible. I got to go to the post office and get stamps.
And I know I owe tons of you guys, Randy, for ROI reimbursements. So we're going to talk about all that on the Dirty Slides podcast. I've already sent them out to a few people. So if I missed anybody, I know I missed somebody, but if I missed you, reach out or just wait for the Dirty Slides episode where we'll talk about that in advance. Otherwise, I did all my plugs while you were getting your Randy Ruther shirt.
Yeah. Can Randy Ruther get a who day? All right, guys, that's the show. Have a great weekend. We'll see you guys in a few days. Much love for the support. And as always, stay dirty.